It's funny how God works. Today, when I got up, I didn't really know what I was going to talk about when it was time to record today. I've got a list a mile long of what's coming up, different topics I want to talk to you about, but I hadn't really honed in on exactly what today's topic would be. Then I looked at my phone for the first time since before worship service on the way home from church. And the first thing I see on my feed is a heartbreaking story. This is the kind of story that censorship often keeps from ever being shared. But today you're going to hear it because you need to hear it. It's a topic that is personal. It's a topic that is hard to weed through the truth. But today you're going to learn about this story. And it's a topic that if I gave you an option to choose maybe your top three things you think it might be about, it's probably one of those. But because of the world of censorship we live in, if I put it in the title, you may never see it. So I'm not putting it in the title, and I'm not putting it in the intro, but you're going to hear about it next. Let's go.
Are you a Christian woman yearning for a beautiful, joyful pregnancy and birth with a focus on God, not medical tests? Are you worried the birth you want isn't possible and you're tired of being treated like an accident waiting to happen? Hey mama, I'm Lori, host of Your Birth, God's Way. I'm a certified nurse midwife now, but I wasn't always. After working for nearly 20 years in the broken maternity system, I too was in your shoes wondering how I could have the birth I wanted and that I felt God meant for me to have. I found a secret that has actually been known since the beginning of time. God's way is the best way. Spoiler alert, God made us and our babies, and He knows us best. He designed us perfectly for pregnancy, birth, and nourishing our babies after birth, if we work with His design and not against it. In this podcast, you'll learn how to be healthy and have joy during this time of life that will be over before you know it. So if you're ready to reclaim your birth and your babies for His glory, go turn on a few episodes of Bluey for that little one on your hip so you can put the focus back on you for a few minutes with me.
My name is Crystal Maddox, and I had the privilege of participating in Your Birth, God's Way live online childbirth education course. I only learned about Lori and her podcast about 2 weeks prior to the launch of this course. I'd listened to several episodes and knew I wanted to learn more, so signing up for this course was a no-brainer for me. If you're like me, I didn't know anything about birthing options and what I wanted my quote-unquote birth plan to look like. I didn't even know that was a thing. As a Christian, however, I did know I wanted to glorify God in how I approach my pregnancy and the forming of the precious soul in my womb. Lori has a ton of knowledge that you'll want to play the videos over and over again to get it all in as she goes through all four trimesters, which includes postpartum and decisions needed to be made for your little one when they arrive. It's a no-judgment class with Lori's opinions, but she wants you to follow your heart, trust Christ, and make the best decisions for you and your baby. This Christ-centered class serves as an amazing resource to help you make those decisions. Personally, I was initially going to have a hospital birth, just following what most folks do in our culture without considering what would be best for me. After learning more about birthing options, I realized I wanted something different for me based on my personality. Lori gave me the confidence to follow my heart, and though I was already 35 weeks, I made the decision to leave my OB and find a birth center. I had a beautiful water birth, and I was able to experience it with a positive attitude based on the information I learned during this course. Thus, I would highly recommend this course, and I have no doubt it'll bless you as it did me.
Before we dive into our hard topic, I want to talk about a happy topic, and that happy topic is the review of the week. Today, or I guess technically right now, it's the two reviews of the week since I did two episodes last week and I'm planning on doing two this week. But whatever, the review of the episode, how about that? Is that better? This episode's review comes from Cynthia. She left this back earlier this month and she says, "So thankful to have you to listen to. I love to listen to your podcast while I prepare to have my sweet baby. Thanks for taking the time to make this." And thank you, Cynthia, for taking the time to write that. See, that didn't take long, right? So if you're one of the people that's like, I don't have time for this, or it doesn't really matter, please hear me when I tell you it does matter and it doesn't take long, because Cynthia took 30 seconds to go over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review, and it made my day the day it came through. So thank you, Cynthia, and thank you to all of you who have taken the time to leave me 5-star written review. It helps me find more mamas just like you who need to know the things that we talk about here. So today's topic is a hard topic. It's a touchy topic. It's a personal topic. And I'm not trying to sway you. I'm trying to inform you so that you can make good choices for yourself and for your children. I covered this topic recently when I spoke at a homeschool retreat. My topic there was called Sharpen Your Health. And out of the three topics that I chose to include in that talk, which are things that I truly believe will sharpen your health, this was one I went with knowing that it could step on toes. And this was a retreat full of people who were my friends. And I knew that I could be offending people who I love and cherish their friendships. But sometimes we need our toes stepped on to wake us up to what's being done to us and to our children, much the same as we needed in birth. Many of you at some point in the past have had your toes stepped on about your choices in birth. And because of that, it led you to research and to learn. And now you're doing things differently. And I hope that this episode proves to be that for some of you listening today. Fear is a thing that we talk about a lot in this podcast because we don't want to be motivated by fear when it comes to birth. Birth is a normal process. There is nothing to fear in birth. It is a process God made us to do as women. The topic of this show today, though, is a man-made topic. And anything that comes from man might be something we need to learn about. And there may be something to fear there because it's not coming from God. Sometimes fear is good because it helps you to see danger and to think it through before walking blindly into something that you could have avoided. You know, you fear getting run over by a car. Cars are unnatural things. And fear is what causes you to be careful when you pull out into traffic or careful when you go to cross the street because you don't want to get run over. You know how bad it'll hurt if that happens or it could kill you. Today's episode, in a way, needs to be something that will put fear in you to cause you to do more research and to make sure that you are making good choices, because these are choices that you can't get back if you regret them later. Today's episode is a story I want to read you that I just read today. As I mentioned in the intro, I have about 1,000 things that I want to talk to you about in upcoming episodes. But when I read this, this jumped to the top. When I saw this, I just felt compelled to share it with you. And there's urgency in everything I talk to you about, because there's always one of you who are maybe having your baby tomorrow or this week. And what you hear from me might make a difference today, tomorrow, this week. But this is one that touches many of you, because this is one that happens not just at birth, but many, many times throughout your child's life and throughout your life. I want you to pay attention to the tones and the themes of how people regard what happened in this story, how people treat the people who are involved in this story. I want you to really, really pay attention. The headline: Autopsy Confirms Infant Died from Over-Vaccination. This was written by Jennifer Margulies, who you may have seen in other places. She talks about this topic quite a lot. In fact, the first time I ever saw anything from her or heard anything from her was in the documentary The Truth About Vaccines, which is where I first really started to learn about this maybe 11, 12 years ago. First subheadline: Maine mom, RN, paid ultimate price trusting her doctor. A toxicology report shows that a new mom in Maine was right. Her baby, Sawyer, died when he was just 8 weeks and 6 days old, just 34 hours after being vaccinated. On October 20th, 2022, Melissa, who herself is a registered nurse, took her baby to the pediatrician. Sawyer had a rash around his torso that just wouldn't go away. The pediatrician diagnosed him with a viral infection which was causing the rash. The doctor gave her Eucerin cream and told her to monitor her son's temperature for a possible fever. 7 days later, on October 27, 2022, Melissa went to the same pediatrician for her son's well child checkup. At that two-month checkup, Melissa asked the doctor if they should wait on the two-month vaccinations because her baby was still sick. The doctor said no. Although baby Sawyer still had a rash, he didn't have a fever. And since Baby Sawyer didn't have a fever during the appointment, the doctor insisted it would be perfectly safe for the baby to get all his recommended vaccines. Even though her intuition, as both nurse and mom, was that they should wait until the baby was feeling better, Melissa trusted her doctor. That turned out to be the biggest mistake of her life. Next subheadline, 4 shots to, quote, protect against 8 childhood illnesses. At that visit, the baby was given Rotatec, Hib, Prevnar 13, and Pediarix. And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. That's a relatively new one. It looks like Pediatrix, but it has the D taken out. But Pediarix is a combination vaccine that contains DTaP, IPV, and hepatitis B. It's worth noting that a new version of Pediarix was approved by the FDA in 2019, making this formulation one of the newer vaccinations on the market. By the time Melissa got home that day, Baby Sawyer was screaming like he had never screamed before. More experienced moms, moms whose babies have suffered brain damage, would recognize that heartbreaking sound as the DTP scream, a high-pitched, uncontrollable, almost inhuman expression of agony. My side note, I have never heard of the DTP scream. That tells you how common it is. It has a name, but I'd never heard it before this. Melissa's pediatrician had told her during the appointment to give the baby acetaminophen to make him more comfortable. Even though Baby Sawyer didn't have a fever, Melissa gave him a partial dose of baby Tylenol for discomfort. The next morning, on October 28, 2022, the baby was still acting fussy and uncomfortable. Melissa gave him more Tylenol, held him, and rocked him. He drank 5 ounces of expressed breast milk from a bottle. Next up, headline, limp and unmoving. When her husband got home from work, they put the baby down in his bassinet for a nap. This was around 5:30 p.m. Her husband then ran out to get some food for dinner. Melissa, who worked remotely, heard the baby fussing around 6:15 p.m. Her husband went in to check on him. He readjusted him and rubbed his back as fathers do. Baby Sawyer fell back to sleep. Sawyer was asleep off and on for about 4 hours, during which time she and her husband both checked on him. They also had a baby monitor, and it was easy to hear the baby anyway because their home is small. But the last time Melissa went to check on Baby Sawyer, the baby wasn't moving or breathing. She picked him up out of the bassinet, and the baby was completely limp and lifeless. Melissa started screaming. Her husband, who was the last one to see him alive, rushed in to help his wife. Next subheadline, unable to revive the baby. They immediately called 911. When the emergency medical technicians arrived, they did everything they could to revive the baby, but they were unable to save him. Baby Sawyer was pronounced dead at 10:51 that night. His tiny body was put in a body bag and taken away by the Brookings Smith Funeral Home. The Penobscot County Sheriff's Office and the state police had also responded to investigate. Because it was an infant death, the state of Maine opened a formal investigation and ordered an autopsy. The autopsy was performed the next day on October 29, 2022. Next up, headline, a bogus report. The chief medical examiner, Dr. Mark Flomenbaum, determined that the cause of death was, quote, asphyxiation due to inappropriate sleep position and environment. His report essentially blamed the parents, citing a, quote, suboptimal sleeping environment for purportedly causing their infant's death. Next section, the parents become suspects. At this point, law enforcement began questioning Melissa and her husband as if they were murder suspects. One asked Melissa if she thought her husband could have hurt the baby, implying that her husband might have suffocated their son on purpose. She was also asked if her husband had been drinking and whether he had a problem with alcohol. However, the investigators found no evidence of foul play. According to the pathology report, the child was well-developed and had no signs of injury or bruising on his body. Baby Sawyer's death was ruled an accident and the case was closed. Next topic. Melissa tells everyone the baby was just vaccinated. Melissa, who was devastated, mentioned to anyone who would listen that her son had just been vaccinated. Though she did not know why her son had died, she did not understand how the timing could be coincidental. Her intuition would not allow her to ignore the fact that her healthy baby had a viral infection, got 4 vaccines against 8 illnesses, and died the next day. How could that possibly be a coincidence? Researching online, Melissa found a pathology protocol, a list of recommended tests for infants when over-vaccination is a suspected culprit. She emailed the state medical examiner, Dr. Mark Flomenbaum. She formally requested that the tests on the protocol list she'd found be performed to explore if vaccinations may have played a role in her son's death. Here's the email Melissa sent to the medical examiner. I have reprinted it in its entirety. I am writing to you to formally request the following additional pathology assays, analyses, and tests be performed on my son's Sawyer Kendall, date of birth 8/27/22, postmortem blood and tissue samples, and to preserve the samples and data they reveal for my legal counsel to review. Infant vaccine autopsy tests. CRP, C-reactive protein. If inflammation is high, that would indicate that vaccines were to blame, as a small infant or toddler could not generate such results. This would indicate severe brain damage. Test for liver enzymes. Test for heavy metals, especially mercury and aluminum, in blood and brain tissue. Test for formaldehyde and formalin in particular, which would come from vaccines. Even though the body manufactures a little formaldehyde, large amounts would implicate formaldehyde or formalin, especially in vaccines. Test brain tissue for mercury and aluminum, which would indicate those metals crossed the blood-brain barrier and may have been the precipitating factor in the child's demise, as they are potent neurotoxins and can cause encephalopathy. And then the last section is a cytokine panel, which looks for interleukin-1 beta. Interleukin-1 beta is one of the key mediators of the inflammatory response to physical stress. Interleukin-6, interleukin-8, tumor necrosis factor alpha. TNF-alpha is a growth factor for immune cells and osteoclasts, the cells that break down bone. Fibrinogen, vitamin C assay, and titer levels on all the vaccines. If they are sky high, that could make a case for molecular mimicry causing death. Sincerely, the parents of deceased infant Sawyer. Next subheading, medical examiner brushes off possible vaccine link, refuses to investigate further. Flomenbaum's office, which has come under scrutiny several times in the past, refused to perform any of the tests Melissa requested. Sandra Slimmer, medico-legal death investigator for the state of Maine, explained to Melissa via email that, quote, Dr. Flomenbaum and I reviewed your correspondence to the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner. I will do my best to address your requests and concerns. If you have more questions, please feel free to contact me. Slimmer's email and a screenshot below, which actually wasn't included in the article that I saw, asserts that heavy metals do not cause SIDS, so additional testing was not necessary. However, Slimmer's office did not list the cause of baby Sawyer's death as SIDS. But their email response further claims that if there were heavy metals in his system, the amounts would be, quote, so small, end quote, that these metals would not be a contributing factor in his demise. The email also claims that the description of the baby's sleeping environment was compelling, and therefore they saw no reason to perform any additional tests. The entire email suggests that before they even did any testing on baby Sawyer's body, the medical examiner's office had already determined the cause of his death. Next section, Melissa contacts Health Choice Maine. Since she was unable to get the medical examiner to do any further investigation of her baby's death, Melissa reached out to Health Choice Maine. Health Choice Maine is a statewide nonprofit that works to protect families and restore medical freedom in Maine. I spoke at their conference, Find Your Light, a year ago. Remember, this is being written by Jennifer Margulies, who speaks at those types of events. Tiffany Kreck, Health Choice Maine's executive director, met with Melissa and helped her to build a timeline of evidence and documentation. They decided they needed to find a new pathologist, someone willing to order additional testing. Health Choice Maine started an exhaustive search to find a competent pathologist. "We searched the entire country," Kreck told me when I spoke to her by phone. "We came up empty-handed. No medical professional wants to touch this issue. They are terrified of losing their career and their ability to support their families." "It took 4 months," she continued, "utilizing every network we had. We finally found one person who, seeing the grief of the mother, agreed to order the tests. Working with the fluid and tissue samples collected by the state medical examiner, this pathologist did as many of the suggested tests as he could. The results of this report were shared with the family and with Health Choice Maine on August the 3rd, 2023. Next section headline, told she had a, quote, adjustment disorder. In the meantime, trying to deal with the unfathomable grief of losing her only child, Melissa went to a psychiatrist in March of 2023, 5 months after her son died. Instead of sympathy, however, Melissa was met with a cold diagnosis. She was told she was having a, quote, adjustment disorder. The therapist recommended mood stabilizers and antidepressants. Melissa left the therapist's office crying. She felt like she was going crazy. Was she a bad mom? Had she done something wrong? Was there something wrong with her because she couldn't let go and was still grieving? Next section, explosive results. Baby Sawyer died from vaccine poisoning. The aluminum concentration in the baby's blood was at adult toxicity levels. Baby Sawyer had 95 micrograms per liter, which far, far exceeds safety amounts. Several of the vaccines Baby Sawyer received, including Hib and Pediarix, contained high amounts of aluminum. So the medical examiner's office was wrong in assuming, without ever testing it, that heavy metals did not contribute or even cause the death. This additional pathology report shows how much our medical examiners don't know because they won't look. How many other parents have been blamed for their infant's death that were innocent? Kreck said. These tests must be the standard in all unexplained infant deaths. Last subheading, challenging the cause of death. Health Choice Maine is working with attorneys to find out how to challenge the cause of death listed on Baby Sawyer's death certificate and file a vaccine injury compensation program claim. Follow your instincts, even when everyone's telling you you're wrong, Kreck says. Vaccines are implicated far more often in infant deaths than parents realize. Again, that was by Jennifer Margulies. I don't have a link for that exact post because it was a Facebook post. I'll try to get a link for it and put it in the show notes. I do have a link for another part of their story that you can see on the Children's Health Defense Network page that I will put in the show notes, and a few other links that I'm going to tell you about as we go through the next little few minutes. Because I want to talk to you about some takeaways from this article. Because I know many of you are probably have a lump in your throat, maybe even tears in your eyes. Many of you probably can't believe what I just read to you. But understand that this is the norm. Vaccines are pushed as being harmless. And if your child happens to be one who has an injury of some sort, or worst case, passes away as a result of having vaccinations, you will be pushed back on from every direction. No one will believe you, and good luck proving it is all I can say. I have friends, personal friends, whose children have never been the same after a vaccine. And they spent years trying to get someone to believe that that is the cause of what happened. They saw the child one way on one day. They took him in for their routine pediatrician appointment, routine vaccinations, and the next day something had changed. Pediatricians often say, oh, the mom just wasn't paying attention. Oh, they just really didn't know. But what mom do you know who doesn't know their baby better than anybody else in the whole world? Any mom in their right mind, they know that baby. And the worst feeling I can imagine, short of your baby dying, is to have your baby either hurt or pass away, and no one will believe you. And you know the truth, but no one will believe you. That's one of the reasons why this is such a big deal, because you've got to be sure about what you're deciding, because you're going to have to stand strong. You're going to have to be strong if one of these supposedly rare things happens to your child. They're not that rare, I'll tell you that. I'll put a link, by the way, down in the show notes for VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Effect Registry, where you can go kind of play with the data and see the reality of how many people have reported things happen because of vaccines, and realize that studies suggest that maybe only about 10% of parents actually ever report it. So everything you see on there is way low compared to reality. So let's talk about some takeaways. Number one, God gave you and your baby an immune system that works beautifully when properly supported. The concept behind vaccinations is actually good. You get a little small teeny particle of some illness, and because of that, your body elicits an immune response and causes your body to recognize that illness next time it sees it, and supposedly you won't get as sick or maybe sick at all. So that's a good concept, but the reality and the implementation are very bad. And I can't really go into all the details here. I don't have time to do that in one podcast episode, but just understand that all those things that are put in there, you might think, well, why are they there? Well, for one thing, because the vaccine literally would not work. It would not elicit immune response if it didn't have these things in there like aluminum to irritate your system, to create the inflammation that your body needs to recognize that anything is wrong. I can't go through all the physiology of that. Maybe I'll do that in a future episode. I went through all that in my talk on Sharpen Your Health about just how your immune system usually works and how the concept of a vaccine, it just doesn't work that way. You have to make some other things happen or it'll never do anything. But those extra things, those things that are creating that inflammation, that's where the danger comes from. The ingredients of a vaccine are literally an attack on your immune system at their core. They are not an aid. And they know that. They put them in there for that reason. You're trying to attack the body in a way that it will recognize, but it's in there in such large quantities, relatively speaking, that these little systems, these little baby systems, and even some adult systems, but especially baby systems, can't handle it. When you support your immune system with whole, real foods, or for a baby with breast milk, the thing that baby was designed to live on, breast milk, when you support that immune system the right way, it will work, and it will work well. Second takeaway, you cannot blindly trust. You can't blindly trust really anybody in our system, in our medical system. You have to do your own research. You have to do the legwork. You can't just believe not only that they're telling you the truth, maybe they're telling you the truth from their perspective, not that there's more than one truth, but maybe they're telling you what they truly believe, and they've just been poorly educated, or maybe they've been educated by someone with an agenda, or maybe they're just guessing. Some people just say what they think they're supposed to say. And I know that's sad. I know you're supposed to be able to trust them, but you can't. The third takeaway, don't be surprised when you get blamed if something goes wrong, because the system will not take responsibility. They have entire departments dedicated to protecting their tails because they know that you can't afford to do the same. They know that you don't have the ability to defend yourself on that same level, and they know that you don't have the time or the finances to fight back. They know that. And because of that, they have entire teams to intimidate you into not even trying and to defend them, to try to keep them from having to pay out to you if you manage to prove that they're at fault. And that doesn't just go for vaccines. That goes for birth and anything else you can imagine. Hospitals have entire departments that their whole purpose of existing is to make sure you can't sue them and win. Fourth takeaway, you must research. You must research. I firmly believe that if the Lord tarries, if he waits to come back long enough, at some point in the future, society is going to look back at this time in history as simply the most recent barbaric time. What do I mean by that? Well, read a history book. There's been lots and lots of things that have happened that are just flat out barbaric. There's been lots of things that have happened in childbearing that are barbaric in the last 100, 200 years. But this is just going to be the next one. So many mothers and children have been assaulted and then blamed. So many women and children have been assaulted and it called science and called technology and called advancement about how great it is. All this great technology. And because you're a good person and you want to trust, it happens to you. You end up being the victim of all of this. You can't afford that. You know, it reminds me of Little Red Riding Hood. You remember that story as a kid? The wolf was dressed up like grandma. And the girl knew something wasn't right. The little girl knew something wasn't right. But yet she still trusted. We can't be the little girl. We have to do our research. We have to trust our gut. When you feel that feeling like, something's not right, you've got to follow it. God gives you intuition. Listen to it. That sixth sense that we moms say that we have, don't ignore it. Do not ignore it. If something doesn't seem right, there's probably a good reason. Listen to it. I have got a long list of resources for you to go check out, books and books and books and websites and documentaries and all kinds of things for you to educate yourself with. The link for that is going to be down in the show notes. It is yourbirthgodsway.com/resources. Understand that I am in the process of migrating my site from one place and recreating it in another place. So it's possible that when you go to that, it may have moved, or it's possible that something won't work exactly right. If you are listening to this in the future and you can't find it, send me an email, Lori@yourbirthgodsway.com. I'll be happy to help you find that link. I want you to have the resources so that you can educate yourself so that you can make the best choices for you and for your baby. And lastly, last takeaway, realize this is not just one shot. There's not just one that is so much worse. As I try to go through my head of maybe one that I would think isn't that bad, I can't even think of one. Because if for no other reason, the amounts of aluminum that are in these shots today, one single shot has too much aluminum for most adults. And that's just one. This baby got four for eight different illnesses, but four needles went into this baby. Four. Each one of those has too much aluminum for you as an adult. So how much more is it for that baby? Again, I went into this in depth, and maybe I need to pull that out and make that be an episode or record a video, just redo that talk so that you can understand the reality here, because the numbers are easy to understand when you look at them. They make so much sense. There's no reason we should be insulting a baby system with so much heavy metal. If you took the ingredients of a vaccine and you put them in a bottle and you gave it to your baby to drink it, you could be put in jail for child abuse. And yet, when we put it in a needle and it's put in there by the pediatrician's office, not only is it not child abuse, but they are protected from liability. They are protected from liability. You might not have known that. If you have a child who you believe has been vaccine injured, You literally cannot sue the company that makes the vaccine. The government put those protections in place. And you know what happened shortly after they put those protections in place back in the 80s? The numbers of vaccines shot through the roof. Because why wouldn't they? If you can come up with a drug that every single child who is born in America or any other country for that matter is going to get, that is quite the cash cow. That is quite a way to make some money. And then tie into that, that there's no liability. You can't sue them. I mean, why wouldn't you if you're one of these big pharmaceutical companies, right? You have no soul, obviously. You have no, you know, conscience. Couldn't come up with a word, no conscience. So why not, right? The number of vaccines that were required when I was a child, I'm 42 years old as I record this, was, I don't know, 12, 14, something like that. I've seen different counts. And I got them all. And I got more when I was in the Navy, more when I was in nursing school, because of course they make you get all the things and prove you've had all the things. But kids now, they're getting 60, 70, 80 vaccines by the time they're five. Think about how much aluminum we're putting in their brains. And then we wonder, how could this be happening to our kids? How do we have so many illnesses? How do we have so many kids with ADD, ADHD, allergies, chronic inflammation of this or that or the other? I mean, the list is so, so, so long. So much autism, so much SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. It's not coming from nowhere, guys. It's coming from somewhere. And I believe this is one of the big wares. I think there's more than one. I think sometimes it's a combination. I think there's a lot of environmental factors at play in. But if you remove this one thing from childhood, quote, healthcare, I firmly believe most of it will go away. Now, granted, these are my beliefs that I have reached as a result of a whole lot of research. But I want you to do that same research so you can see for yourself and make your own decisions. And again, I've got all those resources for you. I will show real quick for anybody looking at the video, maybe on Instagram. I have lots of books. This one is a really good one. This is the most recent one I've bought, Vax Unvaxxed, Let the Science Speak by Dr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the head of Children's Health Defense, Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness. My book stack is going to fall over. What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Children's Vaccinations. Really good book. That was the first one I had read. And the Vaccine Safety Manual for Concerned Families and Healthcare Practitioners. And I will just flip through and show you. I mean, this is small print, but with lots of graphs. It goes into the research for every single vaccine, every single one. Okay. So the information is available. Sometimes it's a little hard to find because of censorship, but it's there. And you owe it to yourself and you owe it to your baby to go look it up and research it. Okay. I know this isn't a fun episode. I get it. And it's also gone a little long, but I need you to take this seriously and I need you to be ready because guess what? The first one where they want to start this process, day one of life. The baby's first day outside of your tummy, outside of your womb. You've just given birth to this baby who has a perfect body, a perfect immune system. And that day, they want to give your baby hepatitis B, a hepatitis B vaccination. Hepatitis B is a disease that is passed sexually and by IV drug use. I'm fairly certain that no one listening to me right now has a baby who has been sexually active or used IV drugs. Pretty sure about it. And for that very small percentage, because I know some of you might say, but what if mom has hepatitis B? Yes, that is a concern. But guess what? If mom has hepatitis B, that will be found in all those prenatal labs they do because they draw a lab looking for that. And if she has it, the baby doesn't need the vaccination. The baby needs another type of immune therapy. It's a whole different thing. I've taken care of a baby that had that before or needed that before. It's a totally different thing. The vaccine isn't even what that baby needs. So why is it that we are giving every baby in this country, short of the few whose moms are paying attention, a hepatitis B vaccination and putting an undue insult on that baby's brain on the day of life? Because those metals go to the brain. There are actually ingredients inside of that vaccine that make it easier for those metals to go to the brain. So your brand new, fresh baby, before you even get a chance to know it, is already receiving things that will change the way its body works and maybe the way its brain works. I'll let you think about that. Why they would do that? Why would they start so early? Think about all the reasons. Let your head go there. Let your mind go there. Think conspiracy wise, because let me tell you, this is not for your good. And this is not for your baby's good. This is to get you hooked into the system. It's get you started, get you used to it. And I even think maybe to go ahead and put the things in the baby to go ahead and insult the development early enough to where you think it's just your baby, that it's not what's been done to it, to where you just think that your baby just was born with this or that or the other. How many kids are suffering right now from something that is a result of one of these shots and nobody knows it because nobody can prove it and maybe nobody's put two and two together? I don't want that to be you, mama. I hope this has helped you. I know it's not easy. Done a lot of episodes lately that are not easy, but I'm not here to make it easy for you when it comes to these things. I'm here to help you to start thinking before it's too late for you to think. I don't want you to have the heartache. I don't want you to have the guilt. I want you to make the good decisions, and I want you to make them on the front end before it's too late for you or your baby. If you have questions, shoot me an email. I'm happy to talk to you. I know that this is a topic that hits home for a lot of people. So just understand you're not alone. There's lots of resources out there for you, including this one. And I will see you right back here, probably on Thursday. Have a great day. Real quick, if today's episode blessed you in any way, would you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a quick 5-star written review? It'll take you less than a minute, but it's the best thank you you can give me. And it will help my show to reach more mamas just like you, so we can all find God's best for our families. I'll see you right back here in a few days.